Welcome to the Making a Runner podcast. I'm your host, Nick, a running specialist, biokineticist, and coach.
And I'm your co-host, Davey, aka Davey on the Run.
Through our shared knowledge and experience, we unpack the fascinating topic of running.
We speak to coaches, athletes, subject matter experts, and everyday enthusiasts to help you improve your running.
And ensure that you enjoy every step of the way, wherever the road or trail may take you.
This is how runners are made.
It's how runners are made, baby.
Oh yeah. You know, you walk into a shop like we are in at the moment and you see shoes down there. It's this whole shop is filled with shoes. Yeah. And then you have to pick out one pair.
So there is what you call a daily trainer, something that you're going to use each and every day for your long, slow runs. Then there is what you call a racing trainer, something, let me say, go for your tempo runs, your speed sessions.
In between.
And exactly, in between. Then we have what you call a racing shoe.
I think the nice part that you mentioned is that sometimes you do take them outside for a run. Because I think unless you go for a decent jog, you don't really know what that shoe feels like. And Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think at the end of the day, it comes down to feel.
The bottom line, winning or doing amazing things is nice, but what we do with the community and people around you is more important than any other victories or even PBs or whatsoever. Yeah.
Nicholas, hello.
Davide, how are you, my friend?
Coming to you live from the bloody moon once again.
Aye, boy, man. That's the problem. This is we're gonna struggle with these online conversations, bro. I think you're sounding very far away, man. You need to invest in some equipment. I believe I gave you a mic. I don't see you set that up at all, eh?
No, I'm just waiting for you to move down to Cape Town first. I know that's probably gonna happen sooner than I set the mic up.
You know what? You've been too busy riding your bike. That's what it is.
I've been too busy riding my bike and getting ready for a child. So
Enough excuses.
And my friend,
how's the recovery? How's the recovery going?
No. Before we get into that, I want to congratulate you on your new headline sponsorship of the new face of Burnt Running.
Yes, thank you, David.
I want to apologize. Obviously, all the other brands didn't see the potential, but I'm glad someone's finally snatched you up. And I look forward to seeing all the content creation every single day, 10 times a day. It's going to be
great. You know what it is? It's a gap in the market. I had this Instagram influencer friend who used to live near me. He just used to just take over the market. I waited for you to leave. And the moment you left this broad gap. You went to the land where there's all the influencers and you left KZN where there's none. And I've taken over. That's what I'm
doing. Yeah, I'm proud of you. Now I've got a thousand influencers to fight off and catch on.
I've learned from the best. Now I'm going to show them how it's done.
Good man.
Davey, tell me about your injury, bro.
My recovery is going in the right direction. I'm able to put weight on the foot and it's feeling better and better each day. I can't believe that this weekend is going to be 1 month since the injury. Yeah, 4 weeks. So 4 weeks of no running. It'll be 4 weeks of letting that bone heal. So, and then after that, 2 more weeks, I can go for my x-ray. Hopefully, all is cleared up. And then if the stars align, I can hit the ground running and get ready for Comrades 2024.
Sheepers, eh? So, it's still on the cards. Eh? I've been hearing a lot of murmurs. I've been getting a lot of DMs asking me, is Davey still running Comrades? He's crazy. Is he still going to do it?
Big picture stuff. Yeah, the answer is that I would love to do it and that I do plan on doing it. But I've also had a few comments made under people's breaths saying it's probably not the best idea, especially if you've just broken a bone. But, you know, limits are meant to be pushed. And, and you know that classic saying, YOLO, hey? You only live once, so.
But you also only get to run your best for a very select period of time. So perhaps looking after your bone in the short term and skipping out on perhaps this race might be something that other runners could learn from. I just feel like we can't be boosting the fact that you've broken your bone and now you're going to try and rush back to comrades. It's important to look after our bodies and not overdo it. So I think you need to listen to your body and you're going to know what works and what doesn't work. But it's exciting to hear that you are doing better, that you've handled a whole month without running. And I know for you, that's mad. I mean, it's so difficult when you got a sport that you love doing and now you're having to actually get on the bike and do the cycling when all you do is run and complain about the cyclists around you. Now you become one of them.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy. One whole month without the sport that I love. I do go through a lot of dips, but at the end of the day, finding the bike and getting on the bike, I have just been super grateful to be able to move my body and get outdoors. So, and you have to look at the bright side sometimes. So I'm just grateful to be moving my body, but. I'm very excited to get on this get this recovery journey wrapped up and get back on the road and into some running shoes and not have to wear bloody cycling cleats and a helmet because they are so dumb.
Well, speaking of running shoes, Davey, maybe that's a good way to get into the intro of our special guest today. And this was just a special conversation. The setting, maybe we can chat a little bit about it.
Yes, so our guest today is none other than Mr. Nicholas Rupanga, who is other known as the Shoe Doctor. And Nick is just one of the most down-to-earth and genuine guys that I've ever come across. The recording today did take place in the sweatshop where Nick works and has worked for countless years and has helped so many runners find the right pair of shoe and get their running journey started. So Nick is an amazing guest, such a nice guy, and it really was just such a super conversation.
For sure, he's such a humble individual. I mean, he boasts a 2:18 marathon, but he uses humility, and he was just such a fantastic guest to have on the show. His knowledge is one that has been acquired through many years of just being in the industry and being passionate about runners and helping runners find the right shoe. And we as runners know that is such a difficult thing to do, especially new runners trying to get into a new shoe or runners that have been running in the same shoe for a long time and now having to change their shoe. So in this conversation, we chat to Nick about his background, his starting of his running journey, what made him arrive to the Mother City, and a little bit about running shoes and most importantly, how to find the right running shoe for you. And we do also chat about shoe rotation and how to get the most out of your shoes. It's a fantastic conversation and we're not going to hold this up any further. From my side, enjoy it, listen to it, take everything in. And if you do have any questions for us, make sure to reach out to us on our socials, especially on Instagram at Making a Runner.
So, yep, guys, so without any further ado, sit back, relax, and enjoy Mr. Nicholas Rupanga, the Shoe Doctor himself.
Nicholas, thank you for being with us today and being willing to chat to us. We're very excited.
Thank you so much, Nick. Thank you so much, Dev. It is an honor to give me such an opportunity. Very few people can get such opportunities, amazing or lifetime opportunities. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Dave. Thank you so much, Nick.
Hey, guys, I just want to start off by saying that you're going to hear this for the rest of the episode because Nick is the most humble person I think I've ever come across. But yeah, we're super grateful to be here. We are at the sweatshop in Claremont today. We're set up in the middle of the store. Nick has opened up early for us so we can come and we can see him in his natural environment.
The Shoe Doctor.
Nick is nicknamed the Shoe Doctor. Tell us a little bit about that, Nick.
To be honest, first and foremost, I just want to say it's an honor to be I used to be a professional athlete. Now I'm a semi-professional working in this running industry, sports industry, helping my fellow runners to get right type of gear to enjoy their running. So I'm really enjoying them. So the Shoe Doctor comes from my fellow runners, my customers, who always say, you are doing an amazing job for them to get their running gear to enjoy their journey. So it's the name that I get from my fellow runners or customers or something like that. But I'm really enjoying this. Thank you so
much. Because, you know, if you go for a run with Nick, no matter where you go, road, trail, even if you step outside, yeah, you feel like you're actually walking with a celebrity.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know? I'm sure.
It's actually crazy, especially on the trails for some reason. Everybody knows him. And I did a little Instagram interview with you a while back, and I said, how are you so popular, you know?
Yeah. Well, runners need shoes, eh?
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. So I don't even know that, Dave, I'm popular, but I think people around me, like you, what you are saying, I think the community always say I'm popular, but for me, myself, I don't even think that I'm popular, but I'm enjoying what I'm doing, selling red shoes to my fellow runners, engaging with the community. As part of the ASICS front runner as well, it's just an amazing journey, to be honest. Yeah,
brilliant, Nick. It's so nice to be here with you and your energy. I mean, I only got to meet you on the weekend. From the moment I met you, you know, someone that you feel so comfortable with, and I just feel like I could tell you my problems, especially my shoe problems. I could walk in here, and if I saw you, I knew that I'd walk out with the right advice. And I think a lot of runners need that. Before we get onto that element, though, I want to chat to you a little bit more about your background. Yes. I know you said you come from a background of elite running or elite sport.
Yes.
Perhaps even backtrack that. Where are you from, Nick? How did you end up here?
Yeah. So basically, I'm from Zimbabwe. I was running from childhood. So, you know, where I come from, we come from very remote areas. So it's like sometimes your home, let me say 10Ks or 17Ks from school. So it's like we run from home to school each and every day. Just imagine from 10
to 8. Back.
Exactly, definitely, yeah.
Right. Sure.
So I think by doing that, you don't even know that you are getting that endurance of running.
You've just been doing it your whole life.
Exactly, yeah.
And at what point did you realize that, hey, running is something that I can do as a profession or something that I can pursue that I actually enjoy doing and that I'm good at?
Yeah. So in Zimbabwe, where I was running, doing very well in certain races, but when I came down to Cape Town, that is 2002, I met a friend. His name is Patrick Cox. So, you know, sometimes it's like, to be honest, I'm a believer. So sometimes God will lead you into certain things, amazing things. So just to make it short, it's a long story, but to make it short. So Patrick was doing a certain race, what to call African X. It's a three-day run race, something like that. It's a trail running, yeah. But that same year, I was training for Two Oceans Ultra. But African X was three or four weeks before Two Oceans. So Patrick said his partner, because it's a partnership event, Patrick said his partner got injured. So it was only 2 weeks before that. Then I said to Patrick, I never did trail running. So he said, Nick, you can do it. Let's go. So we went to African X. It was a three-day run. The first day, I think it was 33Ks. I think we were top 10. Second day, I think it was 44Ks. Surprising because I had endurance. Patrick was also a very good trail runner. We won the second day, but the gap was almost, I think, close to 12, 13 minutes.
Wow.
So we had a huge gap for the second team. So the third day, which was the final day, I think we were top 5. But overall time, we were the winners. So from there, I think
that sort of kickstarted
my career. So from that race, I do, to be honest, African X, that is where my name comes.
Yeah.
So sponsors, a lot of people start phoning me, a lot of sponsors phoning me, we want to sponsor you. So from there, the rest is just where I am today.
Wow. Well, it's amazing how it just took one chance where your friend needed a racing partner and you didn't even think that you could take part in this race. You didn't
Definitely,
think that you
yes.
could compete in that race. Never mind, go there and win it.
That's
it's quite inspiring. And again, I think it just shows where you come from humble beginnings. You didn't quite actually appreciate your true capacity and your ability that you had.
Yes.
I mean, fast forward now, 22 years later. Yes. And tell us a little bit about your running career. What were you able to achieve throughout your running career? And when did you start working at the sweatshop?
My running career, like what I said, is a long story. It's a long story, but just want to make it short. Yeah, I've won so many races in Cape Town. That's why, like Dave is saying, you are popular. And but for me, running for me, it's not about winning. It's about the people around you. It's about the community.
Sure.
It's about enjoying what you are doing. That's for me. I'm not proud of winning what I have won, but for me, I am proud of who I am today because the people whom I have met around the journey, who I am today, is more important than what I ever did. Getting from the community around me, people around me, the support I'm having is more important than whatever I've achieved. For me, whatever I achieved is.
But
the journey I'm enjoying because of the people around me is more important. What I'm doing to the community, working in a running shop, as a same professional or a professional athlete, it's a dream for any athlete out there. So, like what I'm saying, the bottom line, winning or doing amazing things is nice. But what we do with the community and people around you, it's more important than any other victories or even PBs or whatsoever.
Yeah, you're really getting to follow your passion. Right.
That's
now.
Correct.
So
yeah, that's
whether you are running, whether you are empowering other runners around you to become better or to motivate them to achieve things that they didn't think they could achieve like you, or even just putting them into the right pair of shoes.
That's correct.
So when did that journey start? When did you start working at the sweatshop? Or did you always have an interest in running shoes? How did that passion develop?
So it was 2010. Someone said there is a shop that is going to be open in Claremont. You can just go there and see if you are interested, if they are interested. So I did come. So they said they were interested in me. So I think they were looking for someone who is also running because it's a running industry as well. So that is 2010. From there, the rest is just the history, to be honest,
And were you still racing back in 2010?
A lot. To be honest, my career from, even if you can check my results wherever, if you check on my social network, from 2009, I think I was at my peak. That is, I've won so many races, but that is when I was enjoying my races a lot, from road to trail and all that, So, and also it becomes a bit easier. Remember, you'll be talking the same language. You come to work, you are talking about running. You go outside, you meet runners. So for me, it's like I'm being paid for my passion. Yeah. I enjoy coming here, not because I'm paid, because I'm really enjoying meeting fellow runners, talking about runners 24/7. It's a dream, to be honest. It's a dream come true to me,
I mean, so we covered this before we went live, but you have a 2:18 marathon.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, That is scary quick. Tell me a bit about that. You know, what did your training look like for
that Lisbon Marathon?
For that Lisbon Marathon. And was that obviously your peak? Do you think that you could have ever improved on that? Just tell me, what was the experience like training for such an incredibly fast marathon?
Those days I was really a professional athlete. So I was doing more running than working. So my training, you train in the morning, you come back, you sleep, you train in the afternoon, you go back and train. Sometimes you're training three times. So on that way, which means your training, it's up there. So running those time, it will, well, it's difficult, but it will be not as difficult as now what I'm doing. You work, you go for training or something like that,
And to mention that at that time, there wouldn't have been any super shoes, no carbon fiber.
It's completely, that's.
Do you feel like if you had a carbon fiber plated shoe underneath your foot, you would have been able to improve on that 2:18?
Definitely. I can see even right now, remember, I'm over 40 right now. Getting into my magic speed, getting on into my meta speed sky.
Yeah.
The way I am running, I always tell my colleagues that if if we had all these opportunities of having good running shoes, technologies like nutrition or diet, someone telling you about what to eat, what to, yeah, all those things, I think could have even run better times those days, yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I mean, those shoes have revolutionized running completely, and I'm sure we'll get on to chatting a little bit about them just now. But I want to go more to the beginning of you working in the shoe industry, and perhaps tell me, because it's quite a difficult thing, you know. A shoe is a very personal thing. It's a very individual thing. There's no one advice that suits all. And even, you know, you can have as much experience and as much knowledge about a product, but it's not a full-going conclusion that you're going to walk out of here with a shoe that's going to work for you, even if you get onto the treadmill, you get everything, all the right advice. Yes. So it's quite a difficult thing. So Nicholas, perhaps tell us a little bit about how you would walk through someone walking into the shoe shop and not having any idea of where to start with a shoe.
Yeah, there are so many things that we do take into consideration here at the sweatshop. So the first and foremost thing what I do personally is, like, we do what we call gait analysis. Because each and every person have got different biomechanics. My biomechanics, Dev, your biomechanics is completely different, which means the way you run, the way I run, the way Dev run is completely different. And also on the running shoes, it comes down to, there are only two types of running shoes. There is a support shoe and a neutral shoe. So the gait analysis, by using that scanning machine, this using the ASICS running analyzer, I also take you outside for a run. By doing all those things, I will definitely see. So in other words, the bottom line will be looking, there are certain people, there is what called overpronation, mm-hmm. then is a neutral person, in other words, yeah. So that is why we do the gait analysis, to see where you are, whether you need a neutral shoe, that is if you don't overpronate. Mm-hmm. If you need a support shoe, that is if you've overpronate. So that's basic principles, correct, yes. Yeah.
And do you think it's ever overwhelming for an athlete walking in here? Because I know for a fact it can be. You know, you walk into a shop like we are in at the moment, and you see shoes down there. Yes. It's this whole shop is filled with shoes. Yes. And then you have to pick out one pair. I mean, how do you guide that? And a lot of athletes want the prettiest shoe, or they only want an Adidas or a Nike or an ASICS. And how do you find that right shoe? Or do you let them, you know, guide you a bit? Because obviously there's so many brands, and so many brands do different shoes. But how do you manage that process?
On that, like I was saying, the most important thing is to ask the needs for the athlete. When you come in here, Dev, I'll ask you, Dev, what are you looking for? Do you have an injury? What are you training for? Are you doing a trail running? Are you doing road running? All those things will definitely. And also, remember, there is what you call racing shoes. There are what you call racing trainers. There is also what's called a daily trainer. All those things, I'll ask the customer, what is he or she looking for? Each and every brand, they've got all those shoes. It could be Adidas, ASICS, or other. But the bottom line, I have to ask the athlete or the customer, what are they looking for? What are they going to be doing? Mm. And do they have an injury? And also the other thing I also take into consideration, when someone comes in, if you have been using ASICS Nimbus for the rest of your life, you come in here and saying, I will ask, like what I'm saying, like, yeah, I ask, what were you using? I've been using Nimbus. Do you have an injury? If you said no, then you have to stick with the same product.
No need to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. So for me, my principle is, if it's not broken, don't fix it as well.
And I mean, talking about shoes, sorry, Nick. I mean, this is such a good topic, because I mean, I'm sure, Nick, you get tons of questions about shoes. I mean, I get a lot of people asking me about shoes. I'm not qualified though. Yes. You know, everyone's like, they're looking for opinions, but.
There's so many opinions
because there's so many shoes.
And everyone feels different about a certain brand, a certain shoe.
Exactly. But we're gonna steer away from, you know, the right shoe, I think, today, just in terms of brands and stuff, because of Nick's loyalty to ASICS. Thank you very much.
Your loyalty to ASICS as well, David.
But holding on that, Dev, to be honest, of course, I'm an ASICS person, even if you ask my clients. When you come to the sweatshop, That's why I end up asking you, what were you using? If you've been using Brooks, you've been using New Balance. The shoes are personal preference. I use Asics. It works well for me. But when I'm selling the shoes, that's why I'll get all the brands down for the customer to try. Unless if someone has said I've been using Asics, then I want to stick with Asics. But as far as shoes are concerned, the end sweatshop, of course, I'm an Asics person. But shoes are personal preference. Oh. You go out with any shoes.
That's first and foremost, a shoe person.
But okay, so tell me about shoe rotation. I mean, shoe rotation is quite a hot topic. Everybody would ideally like to have some sort of shoe rotation, but often budget doesn't allow for it, you know? I mean, you come into the store, a pair of shoes costs between 2,500 and 3,000 rand, right?
Correct.
I mean, that's
close to 4,000.
Close to 4,000 rand sometimes. So in your opinion, do you recommend shoe rotation? How important is it? And if somebody comes in here, you know, would you advise them maybe two or three pairs of shoes?
Of course, if the pocket allows you, I think it would be a very good thing to do. By rotating your shoes, which means you are increasing the durability of your shoes as well. And also that will definitely prevent injuries as well. We know shoes are expensive. Very few people can afford that. It's very unfortunate. There are certain things that I can explain to you when I'm holding a pair of shoes. Because when you run, that inner sole, you compress it. Technically so, which means if you run today and compress that inner sole, the following day, when you compress that inner sole, it took maybe 24 hours for the inner sole to re-energize again. Mm. Sometimes causing issues. So by now alternating shoes, we are allowing that inner sole from the previous shoe to get energized as well. So it's a very good idea as well. It prevents injuries in some ways and also helps the shoes to last longer.
But can shoe rotation also maybe contribute to injuries? Because like the saying is, more money, more problems, right? If you have more money and you come and you buy four pairs of shoes for the sake of it, and one of those shoes is not the right shoe for you and you're rotating, could you cause injury? I mean, it's so hard to find the right shoe nowadays. Do you know what I'm saying?
I got you there.
So if you go and you get four pair of shoes because you can, could that also maybe contribute to a potential injury if one of those shoes is not the right shoe?
That is when I guide you when you say you want to alternate your shoes. Let me say if you want to alternate shoes, you want to buy four shoes, which means if you're a neutral person, you are getting neutral shoes that you have to alternate. You can't alternate stability shoes and neutral shoes. As long as you are getting right style of shoes, even four of them, I don't think we have any problem.
I like to explain it just quickly in a slightly different way. Like, I like when I explain it to my patients in terms of the foam, and I like the analogy that you used. I like to use a sponge analogy. Exactly. So like a sponge is a very light density. So you squeeze it now, it pops back up.
Exactly.
A shoe rubber or a shoe midsole is a lot lower density. So it's a lot thicker. So now you squeeze it, you run 2 hours, 3 hours on it. It's going to take a long time for that to sort of revive and bounce back.
Correct,
so now if you're just bouncing on that shoe day in and day out, a shoe that might get you 800 Ks, 800 to 1,000 Ks, now will only get you 600 Ks.
Correct.
And that's part of it, you know. So you either skimp out on, I'm going to stick with one shoe only and know that I'm probably going to have to replace it sooner. Or the way I like to go about shoe rotation, and I think a nice sort of small backtrack to do would be understanding the different shoes that you mentioned. So the differences between a daily trainer and a racing trainer and a racing shoe. Because I think that if you can understand those differences, then you'll understand the need for a different shoe specific to a different session that you want to do.
That's correct,
You're not going to take your racing shoe out on your long run all the
time.
That's correct, So perhaps let's backtrack a little bit and explain us a little bit of difference between like what people should be looking for from a daily trainer and then the other different variations.
So your daily trainer, most of them, they've got lots of cushioning, whether it's support or neutral. So they'll give you better cushioning, better support, and better shock absorption, all that things. Then your racing shoes, those are lightweight shoes. Like these days, they are carbon-plated shoes. So in other words, let me just go about three. For me, personally, I know it's expensive to have, like what we are saying, to have all those shoes. I'm very fortunate because I'm being sponsored by Asics. So there is what you call a daily trainer. something that you're going to use each and every day for your long, slow runs. Then there is what you call a racing trainer. Something, let me see, go for your tempo runs, your speed sessions.
In between. And
exactly,
in between.
Then we have what you call a racing shoe. Like on my side, for me personally, I do have my Nimbus as my daily trainer. Then I do have is either Magic Speed or I go with the Nova Blast as my racing trainer. It's a lightweight shoe, but other people can still use the racing trainer for daily training, but you just have to bear in mind it will not last longer. It will not give you the same
support
or cushion you get from your daily trainer. Then it comes to your racing shoe, like your Metaspeed Sky, carbon plated shoes.
Yeah. And with those shoes, I think it's important to then understand what each shoe is there for, what purpose they serve in your individual training. You know, if you're a runner that is running at 6 minutes a K all the time, that is your easy run pace. Perhaps when you're doing a couple of intervals, you're getting into the fives. You know, there's no need for you to go and fork out 5,000 Rand for a racing shoe. Perhaps, you know, you could start off with a racing training shoe that gives you, it still will feel a lot faster
because
it's lighter, it's going to be more reactive. But I often see this mistake, you know, you watch Kipchoge on TV and you're like, I want those Alpha Flies.
Oh, yeah, because you can see him running 2 hours.
But it's actually going to do worse for you on your foot than what, I mean, it works for their feet because of the way that they run. You know, the speed that you run at. And I personally find that unless I'm running fast in a racing shoe, it can feel clunky, it can feel awkward. It doesn't really make me feel comfortable on a run. And I think at the end of the day, the shoe rotation is there to feel comfortable at all different phases of your running.
I think Nick needs to get some ASICS Metaspeed Skies, hey?
Definitely.
I've got a spare Metaspeed
Sky. No.
Cut me off there. But, you know, then to mention the shoe rotation that you're talking about, I think if you're someone that walks in here and has got no shoes, it can be quite difficult to now put them into four shoes that are going to work for them.
That's correct.
If you know, okay, well, I run my easy runs in the Nimbus. You know, once you've done a few runs in that, okay, now I want to start going to the Magic Speed. You know, you introduce a new shoe every time. If you introduce a new shoe, it then starts to cause you problems, then you know that it's the new shoe that you introduced. You add too many different elements at once, then you don't know where to start. How would you go about advising someone who now perhaps only has one shoe and they want to start getting into different shoes or start introducing a shoe rotation?
So on that note, I think you mentioned earlier, each shoe has got its own purpose. I have to ask the customer as well, because we mentioned about the carbon-plated shoes. I have to ask, what pace are you running? And on your training, what is this? By so doing, definitely, that will also guide me and the customer as well. What type of shoe he has or she has to get as a rotation shoe, yeah.
And I think what you're mentioning a lot of is it really comes down to you getting to know the customer.
Definitely, yes.
I mean, that's a massive element of it. And oftentimes I feel like when people walk into a shoe store, it can be very overwhelming. And if you don't have someone that has the knowledge or the time, you know, a lot of time people don't want to spend time on assisting you. They just want to put you into a shoe and move you on. I think it's quite amazing that you want to spend that time with people, that you want to get to know them better. You want to know their training. You want to know how fast they run. And at the end of the day, it's just going to help them get into the right shoe.
That's correct, yeah.
And, you know, is that something that you have developed as a shoe expert to sort of figure out, this is what I need to do? Or did you learn about that? Did you, how did you develop into the shoe doctor that you are now?
So it's a combination of who I am as well. Firstly, to know my client. That's why for me, in most cases, when my client comes here, the first thing, my philosophy is to listen to my client's needs. I'll ask my client to explain himself or to explain herself. What is he looking? Where is she coming from as far as running shoes are concerned? And what's her goals as well? From there, I'll really end up getting the whole information or the whole answer how I can help my client or my athlete or customer, something like that, yeah. And so for me, the bottom line is to know the customer, to listen to what the customer needs and where he is coming from and where he goes or his goals.
Unless they come in here and say they want to run a 210 marathon and they're looking for the shoe to do that, right? Then you tell them that they...
This is the shoe.
Yeah. Well, no, then you tell them that they've... smoking something and that they must leave.
If you don't know what shoe you need to run in and you're going for a 210 marathon.
210 marathon, yeah.
You probably don't know. But, you know, and so you mentioned the first phase is getting to know the person, getting to know their training, getting to know them on a deeper level.
Yes.
You then also mentioned a few things around the shop that help you make the decision a little bit more accurate. So you've got the treadmill,
yes,
where you can watch their gait, you can see what their feet are doing,
definitely,
what how they're landing, how they're towing off, how they're weight bearing, all of those things.
Yes.
You've also got is that a pressure plate in the corner there where you can see where
definitely
they
it's a
where,
pressure,
they, where yeah, they weight bear?
It's a scanning machine.
It's a scanning machine, so it tells you what?
It tells me whether the customer have got high arched foot, low arched foot or flat footed. So a high arched foot, which means someone do super net, normal arched foot, which means someone is neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Low arched foot or flat footed, which means someone is over pronating.
Okay. And then I think the nice part that you mentioned is that sometimes you do take them outside for a run. Because
yes,
I think
that's
unless
always
you go for a decent jog, you don't really know what that shoe feels like. And Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think at the end of the day, it comes down to feel. It comes down
correct,
to how
yeah,
that shoe feels
yeah,
on you. It doesn't yes matter what the shoe doctor is telling you,
exactly,
but that you as an individual coming into the shop, you got to be willing to challenge. You got to be willing to say, hey, this doesn't feel good. This feels a bit too tight, or that support doesn't feel right. Do you find that customers are quite good with that? They express their opinions as well when you put them in a shoe?
Definitely. That's why we mentioned earlier that shoes are personal preference. That's why I'll give a customer the chance to go outside. Of course, yeah, I can say you need a support shoe, you need a neutral shoe. But the way the shoes feels, you're talking of the Asics, they've got different technology, Nike have got different technology, New Balance and so forth. So it comes down to fit and feel. That's why we end up taking our clients to run on the treadmill, going outside. As we are just here to guide the customer, whether you need a support shoe, a neutral shoe, whether you need a racing shoe, a racing trainer or a day trainer, you need a trail running shoe, or something like that, yeah.
And that's one of the biggest problems with people buying shoes online, is that they don't have someone like Nicholas in front of them telling
thank
them,
you,
asking them all these questions, getting
yeah,
them to try the
so
shoes
true
on. And that's what I want to sort of get into now is, what are sort of some common mistakes that you find runners make when purchasing shoes?
What I found, like what we mentioned earlier, shoes are now expensive. So some people go online, they is take a lot somewhere there.
Yeah.
They'll buy shoes. Yeah, there are so many.
They'll buy shoes because they look pretty.
Exactly.
Or because they're
exactly
on discount, 50%
exactly off. Online shoes are expensive. They are not expensive, they are cheap. And they'll just buy. They don't even know whether they need a support shoe or a neutral shoe, even sizing, something like that. So there are a lot of people go out there, buy shoes online, always come back to me and say, this is a mistake I did. So I have seen that so many times, people running, buying wrong style of shoes, wrong sizes, all that. And yeah,
I personally think the only time buying a shoe online can work is if, you know, you're wearing that current shoe right now, you know what it feels like, you know it works for you. And, you know, that goes back to perhaps having a shoe rotation. You don't have to have different shoes in your rotation. It can be the same shoe that you have multiple pairs of that you're rotating. It's going to extend the lifespan of that shoe. But I think a lot of people, it's funny, hey, because I think runners, they want the latest, they want the newest. But a lot of the time, the shoe technology changes from shoe brand to shoe brand, as you mentioned, but also from version to version.
That's correct.
And I mean, we've seen that recently with a lot of the shoe brands where they'll be doing the same shoe, and we're not going to mention shoes,
exactly,
but they'll do the exact same thing for 5-6 versions, and then they revolutionize it now because everyone is doing rocker shoes. They go rocker.
Now
shoes. You, as the individual who has had the same shoe for 5 years running, now you think, oh, I'm just going to buy the new version of it. Well, the new version, it feels different. Do you find that happens practically with people when they come into the shop?
That's correct. Adding to that as well, like even sizing, of course, there's changing of technology, there's changing of that. So even myself, the size maybe on my Nimbus 24 and the size of my Nimbus 25 is not the same. Because of those changes, we are talking of the upper, they do change the upper, they change the midsole. That might also affect the sizing, the width and length of the shoes. Mm. So we are finding the same things from the those people who buy maybe things from online. Because you can say, I've been using this shoe. You go online, try to get that shoe. You find the size is not the same. Of course, UK 8 of 2015 and UK 8 of this year, because of the changes on the technology, it's not the same.
And in terms of technology, I know we're getting a little bit deeper into the shoes now, but I mean, I mentioned rocker designs. We also know we've got shoes that have a minimal heel toe drop. Yes. Perhaps we can just chat a little bit about those shoes in particular, and like for a runner that doesn't know much about shoes, what does a rocker shoe do for you, or what does a why should you or shouldn't you get into a minimal heel toe drop shoe? What is a heel toe drop?
You're talking about the offset or the heel?
The offset.
The offset, the millimeter offset. Other people do say the drop.
Yeah.
Other people say it offset or something like that. So the heel toe off drop is what you call. There is what you call the stack height, then the 4 foot height. So the difference in height, let me say your stack height is 20 millimeter offset, your 4 foot high is 10 millimeter offset. So the difference in height, that would be, the shoe would be 10 millimeter offset. Yeah. So answering your questions, why would someone go to maybe less than, because there is also minimalist shoes, let me see zero drop, then maximum cushioning shoe. Still, for me, it's if something works well for you, there is nothing wrong. Other people say barefoot running is the best. If it works well for you, no problem. If the maximum cushioning shoe works well for you. But at the end of the day, there is no superior technology out there. As long as the technology or the shoes works well for you without any injuries, no problem.
There's also no research that backs one or the other.
Exactly, it's correct,
heel striking, forefoot striking, midfoot striking. There's benefits and negatives to all of them. And as an individual, you got to find what works for you. But Nick, do you get people that come into the shop that have, say, been in a Brooks Ghost 10 millimeter, 12 millimeter drop, and now they've been reading online, no, I got to go minimal. Have you got any minimal shoes in the shop? What can you do for me? How do you handle that situation? Do you try to educate them, or do you let them make the mistakes and figure things out for themselves?
Yeah, that's why we are here, to guide people like that. So let me say someone has been using maybe Cumulus, which is 8 millimeter offset, and Ghost maybe 10 millimeter, and you want to go. I would advise, because my experience as well, let me say, there is nothing wrong about doing that, but I just have to guide. Let me say if you're using 10 millimeter offset, you want to go maybe 4 millimeter offset. I'll explain to the customer the high chances of getting injuries if you get into from that to that. So I do advise my customer, let me say, if you're using Ghost or Cumulus 8 millimeter, you want to go to 4 millimeter offset, you reduce the mileage you were doing. Let me say if you're running 20 kilometers per week, start by doing maybe 10 kilometers per week. By so doing, your muscles, you get used to that lower drop, you going through low mileage or something like that. But I do find a lot of customers coming on those questions.
Yeah, it must be interesting hearing what quite a few customers, you know, are expecting or want, because as we know, every runner is different.
That's correct.
But I can only imagine some of the stories that you must hear.
And Nick, do you get to take all of these shoes out for a trial? Like, how do you find out about the shoe? Do you guys get educated when a new shoe comes out and then you find out more about it? Or do you actually put the shoe on and you take it on the streets and you get a feel for it so that you can have that real experience about it?
Definitely, we are trained or even given the specs of when each and every shoe comes in. We are given, trained. So the brand trainers from us, we have got Asics John, who always come here. Brooks, they also have their own. So each and every year we do have them. They do train us. And also we do try those shoes. For me, I'm asking, but I do try those shoes behind the doors just to see the difference. What are the changes? By so doing, I can explain to my customers how does it feel and something like that. Yeah.
I think it's so important to have someone that, you know, yes, they can give you all the knowledge you want, but
they've tried the shoes.
You got to have the practical understanding. Because I think, you know, you can, and this is the common thing that people do online, you go shoe review, you read a shoe review. Now that Nicholas Rapanga has done shoe review, but that's his experience of it. You know, that is your personal experience. And unless you can take that personal experience and teach someone else about that experience and perhaps how it might affect them slightly differently, it's very difficult to get an understanding from just online reviews. So if you are around Cape Town, you know, you got to come into the sweatshop at Claremont to speak to the man, because it sounds like he is doing a great job. It sounds like you really are putting people into the right shoes and getting them, you know, running better and feeling more confident in their choice. Because I feel it is so, it's always so tricky. People always ask, okay, Nick, what shoe should I get? What shoe should I go for? And you don't know where to send people, because sometimes you don't know what advice they're going to get. And do you get people that, and I'm sure you do, I mean, it's not a foregone conclusion. There's people that I'm sure walk out of here and then a week later they come back and they've got an issue with the shoe, or how do you facilitate that? How do you manage that?
To be honest, I always tell my clients, and we also have got a policy here, mistakes are common. Well, I know about running shoes, but there are certain times when I will make a mistake.
Yeah.
When the customer comes in, I always explain it's a mistake. We have to deal with the mistake. So there's sometimes when, let me say, and also we also have got very difficult customers. Customer will come here and tell him, you need this size. Then the customer said no. Customer say, tell him, you need a neutral shoe. Then you say, I need a stability shoe. All those situations. But at the end of the day, we are here to help customer. We have to sit down with the customer. If it's my problem, if it's a problem, we have to sit down and solve the problems. No one is perfect.
For sure. And I think that you guys have got a great setup here. You've got an amazing amount of brands. And I think it's just exposing that customer to different things and getting an understanding for what different shoes feel like on your foot. In terms of like some parting advice for, say, a newbie runner or someone that, you know, this is common I get, like people when they start running, they just put whatever shoe they have on. What would sort of be the first step in the process of someone getting a new running shoe, their first running shoe? What is the, let's say, the key component of that shoe? Is it comfort? Is it, you know, how long it's going to last? Is it price? Is it the color?
Like what we mentioned before, whatever distance you are doing, you need right style, right type of a shoe. So in other words, by doing the gait analysis, I know the shoes are expensive. There are certain shoes like Westwood Nimbus, but as long as you get shoes that have got right cushioning, right support, whatever distance you are doing, I think that's the bottom line here.
For sure. The shoes might be expensive, but the rehabilitation and you know, time off, that ends up being a lot more expensive and emotionally draining.
Nick, what do you think about this shoe that I've got on here, this lovely moon boot? Would you recommend this one to customers?
I'm so sorry, Dave.
This one has maximum maximum cushioning. Eh?
That's not a good.
What do you think the heel drop on this thing is?
I think that would be, I think,
50 millimeters.
Not really. I can say maybe. It could be maybe. Stake height, maybe I think it's 35.
Maybe should have asked them together.
Then 4 foot height, maybe it's about 20. I can say maybe 13 millimeter offset.
So you reckon this thing would be banned, eh? I wouldn't be able to race in
really,
these.
Maybe you should have asked them to make it carbon fiber for you. You may have gone
still,
under 240.
We can still put a plate in, yeah. But Nicholas, Mr. Rapanga, thank you.
It's been great to chat to you. Thank you so much for the conversation. It's been lovely to get to know you. And I'm so happy to hear like your philosophy around giving shoes and how your passion for running has brought you to where you are right now and how you're gelling it now by empowering people around you and getting into the right shoe. You really are inspirational. So keep doing what you're doing and enjoy going to Paris to the Olympics.
No, not the Olympics. The Paris Marathon.
The Paris Marathon. Okay.
Thank you.
And if you guys are ever, you know, in Cape Town, we are at Claremont Sweatshop in Claremont. Mr. Rapunga is here almost every single day. Am I right?
That's correct.
And if you're looking for some expert shoe advice, pop in, ask for him by name, not Nicholas. You're looking for the shoe doctor.
Thank you.
Come
so
get some advice. Come buy some shoes. There's apparel here. There's supplementation here. What bring your wife. Bring your girlfriend. Bring whoever. Spend some money in store.
Thank you. To be honest, thank you so much, Dev. Thank you so much. Yeah, from the bottom of my heart, I always say for me to be where I am today, it's people around me. I would like to say thank you so much, everyone, for this support. It was an amazing journey from where I'm from and who I am today. It's not that I'm very good, but people around me has changed my life. I really thank you so much. Thank you so much, my sponsors, ASICS, PT Sport, and all the others behind this amazing journey. I really appreciate. Thank you.
That is a humble man, eh?
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Mr. Rapunga.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Making a Runner. We hope you enjoyed it and found value in the show. Don't forget to rate and leave a review on your favorite streaming platform. And remember to share with your running buddies.
Follow our journey on our socials and feel free to engage with us on all things running. We wish you a pleasant run, wherever the road or trail may take you. Bye for now.